The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
So let's do... You ready to go? You good?
Yeah, I'm ready. Cool. I am ready. I am here. I am present.
I am present.
I am one.
I am one with myself. All right, cool. Hey, what's up, guys? Welcome to another episode of The Show Radio. It's episode 511 of The Show Radio. I'm your host, Andrew.
And I'm Danny.
And this is your source for tech, gaming, and entertainment news. Head over to theshowradio.info. Once again, that's theshowradio.info. And check out our past shows while you're there. Subscribe and tell a friend about the show. The show is on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, all the places you can find podcasts. We are there. Daniela, what's going on?
It's been a while since I heard you do that opening.
Yeah, right. It felt new. I was like, whoa, wait a minute. What's going on here?
New. It's like riding a bicycle. You don't forget how to do your opening.
Yeah. It was interesting. It was interesting to do that. But yeah, so you've had a week.
Yeah, my PS4 died.
Yeah. So
it finally officially died. And I
okay,
was so
is it
sad,
is it
so.
Power supply or what do you think it is?
Just age. I have no idea. I was so bummed, and it was the first time I actually had an email, because I ended up being able to get a review code for Catherine, and I was working my way through that.
Nice. Okay.
And sweet. Then it died. I think Catherine was too much for my PS4. It's too full bodied.
Too
full. It.
Okay. I like
so,
that.
So yeah, that's very, very nervous for me to email him like, hey, I'm sorry, it's going to be a little bit late on this. I appreciate it.
Right.
Get this new PS4 and I'll be right back at it and, you know, have your review. I don't like being late, but I think it's a nice courtesy thing to do. I didn't get a response back, so I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
Well, that could be neutral, right?
Yeah, it can be neutral. That's a optimistic way of thinking of it. But yeah, I finally picked it up because Friday was payday, so decided to upgrade. I was gonna do it anyways, for the PS4 Pro in preparation for Death Stranding. I haven't turned it on yet because I'm actually like all my other PlayStations before it. I always upgrade the storage, the hard drive, and it just because. And I mean, 1 terabyte comes with the PS4 Pro, which was the storage that I had for my day one PS4, the 1 terabyte, which, you know, when I got it and I put the 1 terabyte in, it's like, yeah, this is going to be great. It's going to be enough. I still ran into the issue of, you know, I'm going to have to delete some stuff to make room. And so I went with 2 terabytes this time.
Okay.
I'd be amazed if I have to fill that up and I run into that same issue. I don't see it. I think that would be my last PS4. Not that I go through PS4s a whole lot. Because I have a strong feeling less than 2 years we're going to have PS5. And I cannot not own that on day one.
Okay. You cannot not own that on day one. I got you.
Yeah.
I got you.
But so I'm setting that up for the rest of today. Then I'm going to re-download all of my games again, which is such a painful experience.
Everything or just like
in batches, but at least the... at the very, very least, obviously, Catherine. And then Sekiro, which I quietly and privately play that. Because it's so frustrating, so I don't play it on stream, really. And I know there's like one other that I was playing on there. I can't remember. Escape my mind right now. But it's funny because somebody's like, oh, you can upgrade the PS4? It's like, yes, you can. It's like you can upgrade
officially,
the PS3, too.
Like, they have it on their website of what you can do with that. So, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it is nice. And it's such a easy process because they really do give you the step-by-step thing. They tell you what you need, the basic requirements for the hard drive. I did some research beforehand, you know, your regular standard hard drive or the solid state drive. And really, for the performance boost of a solid state drive compared to the price, to me, it didn't feel worth it. Like, it wasn't worth that extra investment and spending money. And during Amazon's Prime Day back in July, they actually had a really nice deal on a Seagate one for the 2 terabytes, and it was like $60. And I went through the reviews, and all of them were positive, really good reviews, really good performance for them. So, I thought $60 for the 2 terabyte was pretty good.
Okay, so question. Are you happy?
Yeah, I love my PlayStation.
Okay,
but
good.
I haven't turned it on, so I still have to go and download the. When you put in a new hard drive, you do have to go to their website, download the update and the core system that it runs on, and you put that onto, like, again, they give you really good clear instructions. Just put it onto your thumb drive, label the folders PS4, make sure you don't change the naming scheme. If it was changed, then make sure it's like labeled as such, so that when you put it in and you do a fresh install, it knows instantly where to pick up those files and to install it. So I've never had a problem with it in the past, so I don't really foresee me having an issue now.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm excited. I'm super excited. I'm ready to play it. I'm ready to see, you know, the differences, because I personally don't know anybody who owns a PS4 Pro for me to see what, you know, the graphic upgrades to it would be or the performance. So I'm excited for that. And then I'm ready for Death Stranding, ready for all of it. I'm good.
So okay. That's so kind of
my...
Congrats on that. I think that we do share something in common. That's the first thing I did when I got my PlayStation 4 was upgrade the hard drive. Once that was done, then it was just about the games and enjoying the exclusives and stuff like that. So definitely congrats on that. And hope you have the good times that you're anticipating on that particular platform. So any other bits on that?
No, not really. I'm actually really happy how long my day one lasted. I got some good years out of it and some good amount of time. It was worth my investment. I mean, it always sucks when you lose an electronic and then you have to replace it. But if you got what you wanted out of it,
right?
I think it's to be expected. I think.
So I'm thinking, right? Do you think it's a transformer thing? Do you think it's a power supply thing that's enabling it? That's, you know, not allowing it to come on?
I don't know.
Okay.
Fair. I can always, I was debating if, since I replaced it, if I want to open it up and really find out, because what happened was it was on, it was all good, did some updates, and then it just shut off and it would not turn back on. No lights, no beeping, no nothing, not even an attempt.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it wasn't even acting as like a power pass through for me to plug in a USB for it to charge, like nothing. So I'm like, all right. And I tried for a few days, tried out some different power cables, different outlets, nothing. It was a sad day.
Okay. And do you keep all your stuff on surges usually and all that?
Yes.
Sweet. All right, cool. All right, I'm curious now. I'm just curious to see, like, what happened. You know, like.
So always that curiosity, like, why did you die?
Why did you die? But yeah, it's... But yeah, I'm curious if you decide to do the test and opening it up and stuff like that. Please let me know. I'm dying to know at this point. But yeah, so that's that. Netflix is airing some shows weekly, but binging isn't going away. What are your thoughts on that?
I want to know what was the change in that.
Okay.
For me, I was kind of thinking about it, because I am a notorious for binging shows, and I love that about Netflix. And I also hate it at the same time, because you go through your show so quickly that you can finish what normally would be like a 10-week run on standard cable TV. You're done in like 2 days, and then you have to wait, what, a year till the next season comes out? And that's the only reason why I could even really think why even the suggestion during whatever their brainstorming meeting came about of like, hey, let's make it a weekly, because you're constantly having to put out that content rigorously and having to spend money because you have fans. You're like, I don't want to wait a year, where it kind of like dies out before the next season can pick up.
Mm-hmm.
And a part of me is like wondering if it's also because you have like, you know, Disney Plus that's coming out, and you even have like Hulu who sticks with that weekly release. And, you know, you have your customers that stick around for the long run without having to constantly come up with new Netflix original movies or TV shows to keep their attention until, you know, the next season comes. It's not going to deter me or make me want to cancel my subscription. It's just an interesting change.
Yeah. So I was thinking about this for a couple of minutes. Few things, right? A/B testing is always great, right? Sometimes when you've done so well, whether that's, you know, financially or just your reach has gone so far, especially with Netflix, sometimes your new ideas come from the guys just coming on the scene, right? Like you said, Disney and stuff like that. So I think that why not see what we can look at with the metrics if we release it once a week or whatever the thing is, and see if we get a surge of individuals come on to be excited for the following episode, et cetera, et cetera. Why not see what those numbers are? And if those numbers are relatively the same or better, then that format can be something that they will keep in their, and you know, in their inventory, you know, and their quiver, if you want to say that. So I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. We always see other parties, whether it's that's Instagram and Snapchat. You know, one company will see somebody doing something, be like, you know what, let's incorporate that into our stuff and see if it works out very, very well, right?
So, you mean what Fortnite does and steals ideas from others?
right. Like any other company, right? We can find one company versus another seeing that, hey, you know, this is working. These stories things, they're working. So how about we take these stories things and add it to our platform? So I think that it's great to see that they're testing that out. And some individuals, what was the last show that was a staple to watch weekly? The ones that had seven seasons. What was that?
Well, there's a lot. I mean, you had The Walking Dead.
Not that one.
Game of Thrones.
Right? So Game of Thrones weekly was a thing, right? And when you were watching it on, what was it, every Sunday or whatever it was, everybody gathered around and recorded around that particular thing. And even for the individuals who are recording podcasts on these particular shows, once a week is a great, you know, vibe. It's a great, I can't find the word I'm looking for, rhythm, if you will, right? So the show comes out, you record about it, all the individuals who are going to create content about it, that's great. And then from there, the following week, you prep, you know, your thoughts at the end of that particular episode to get ready for the next thing. And I think that rhythm has been really great over time, right? It's just that how do you do that digitally? Because if you recorded everything, then it's like, okay, why don't we just put everything out and then people can watch it the way they want to. But the community aspect is really gone unless you're talking to your friends on a regular basis about the thing. But when you're doing it this way, the weekly format, I think that there's just such a community vibe that is created around those particular episodes or whatever that content is, and it drives individuals to have conversations about it online. Yes, we're going to have conversations about it anyway, but it's so concentrated for that one particular thing, and I think that's a great thing for us who enjoy these shows, whatever they're going to be. And the fact that Disney's going to do that, I think that's great too, which was their idea originally, I think. Based on this conversation, right? So I'm kind of thrilled to see how they're going to do with the metrics and stuff like that for that.
I want to know if it's going to be implemented into what their current lineup, or it's something. It's like, hey, we have a new show that's coming out that we have that we'll start implementing the weekly with that, because that would be hard for me. I think for watching some longtime shows, I know that Orange is the New Black already ended. But if you could binge watch all of those, if somewhere in like around season four where they decided, okay, now we're going to have it as a weekly thing, I think I'd have a hard time transitioning, considering I was so used to just having it all available to me at one time. I think it'd be just smarter for me, coming from a consumer, if they just implemented it going forward with certain shows. But okay. I totally agree with you in the sense that it's just that community that you build, if it's on that weekly release, because you have that longevity of however long the season's going to be, whether it be 10 weeks, 12 weeks, or for some like 22 weeks there, you have 22 weeks where everybody is just like centered on that one episode and they're talking and they're conversing about it and excited about the next. And on right. top of that, it's really great to go with the weekly schedule to somewhat avoid spoilers, because there are people, like you said, release it all. They can watch it however way that they want to. And people like me like to binge watch it thinking that maybe the rest of the world does this and we can talk about the episodes now. We can talk about all of these things. Whereas people who are just like, I can watch one or two, you know, this week and I'll catch the rest, you know, that's based off of my schedule, can't watch it all one time. And then they have to avoid, you know, every single spoiler along the way, which I think if you're watching, take example, Game of Thrones, mm-hmm. I'm sorry, you got like 1 week leeway of being spoil free because this next episode is coming. You have right. 1 week to watch just one episode. So it'll be fun. It doesn't change me being a consumer of Netflix or my subscription or anything like that, or have any less love for any of their shows, because I watch Hulu too just as much. And their stuff is weekly.
Right.
I don't mind.
Yeah, it's going to be good to see how they're going to roll that out, which I like it either way. I think it's going to be beneficial for the individuals who say, you know, there's only 10 episodes here, so that's 10 weeks. I can wait 10 weeks and then watch it at my own pace. And there's some individuals who are going to record content about this particular episode, whatever that episode is. And then a lot of content is going to be created from that within that week, as you mentioned. And I think it's going to be good for testing, because you're going to have the way you've done it with the binging. And then you're going to have this way to test out to see if you're going to keep it.
It might make me a little bit more productive, too.
Because you're not watching everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's going to be neat. Any additional thoughts on that?
No.
So that's cool. Okay, so Nintendo Direct, I didn't see much from that. I don't know if you have. There's only one thing that really got me excited from that, but I'm going to let you start with Nintendo Direct.
I watched some of it. I will say, they have. I love what Nintendo does. But I think this is the first time for their Pokemon games. I think I might have grown out of Pokemon.
Hmm.
Okay. I love that they always have their new series. So they have Sword and Shield coming out. I am getting kind of tired of the whole, let's just keep expanding on all these different Pokemons. And I can't remember the name of the two that they showed. One was in a teacup. It's a ghost type. It's like, are you really running out of ideas here? Like, really?
I watch the old stuff, you know, with the theme song, I Want to Be the Very Best.
Yeah.
That no one ever was. Of my favorites. Yeah. That's one of my favorites. And still watch that.
I don't know. I guess it's getting to that point where there's just killing me with these Pokemon. I think it's just getting ridiculous. They're running out of ideas.
Do you play the game on mobile?
The Pokemon Masters, I do.
Okay.
And it's okay. It's a cute little one and it's quick to play. The story is really cute as well too, and because it's mobile, you know, quick jump in, jump out. But I don't think I'm going to be getting any Pokemon games for a while, like on the Switch.
Okay.
I think maybe I've gotten to that point where I'm just one of those old cronies of get off my lawn. I only have 151 Pokemon. That's all I care about.
You don't care about the 700 plus ones that are just roaming around?
No.
I don't know what the number is, but I'm
losing interest.
Mm.
And I think it's a sad thing, and I don't know. Maybe it's a maturing thing. Maybe it just took me to being 30. How old am I? 35?
I can't remember. How old am I? Wait a minute.
I was going to say 36. 35. Oh, man. I'm 35. Now I really don't know. 30-something.
Thirty-something.
To outgrow Pokemon. But other than that, I'm like, I love their Nintendo Direct. I like the way they do it. It's exciting. It's fun to watch with other people. My next Nintendo Switch game that I think I'm going to get, well, two of them. One is already released, which is Astral Chain. Mm. I really want to play that game.
Looks really good. I've seen a few things on it. Looks dope.
And Luigi's Mansion. Mm. Like, just those two. I've never actually been interested in any of Luigi's games, but this one, I don't know what it is, but I just got that urge, like, I need to play this. This looks like a lot of fun.
Platformer? I need to know. Still?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, those are the two that I'm looking and picking up next for the Switch.
Okay. I only saw one thing that got me excited, and I don't even play this game like that. So, Terry Bogard is going to be in Super Smash, right? I love Fatal Fury and that whole King of Fighters and all those games that he's been in. And he's great. I think he's a great addition to the Super Smash cast, if you will. And I'm hyped about that. I'm hyped to see how individuals are going to use Terry Bogard in those matches. So I'll probably look at a couple of Smash matches when they happen with Terry Bogard. And outside of that, I think that's the only thing that really caught my attention as far as news for Nintendo Direct.
So that was pretty exciting. I loved how they introduced him and they were going through, you know, all the cutscenes, all the little fighters that led up to it. Again, showing the age is when I was looking at the Twitter feed, everybody that was using Nintendo Direct and seeing all the younger gamers of like, who's Terry?
Dude. Dude. How do you not know? I mean, but see, we have to remember, like, some individuals just don't map to a lot of things that we've enjoyed in the past. But I love the fact that YouTube's there and Google and all those things. So they can at least have a history of some of the great content creators that do the history portions of our gaming industry and stuff like that. So I'm kind of hyped about seeing things like that, the crossovers. I think I saw one for Ryu Hayabusa that's going to be an Orochi game. That's in 2020, I think. So it's great. It's great.
So what I also really, really love about Nintendo, their marketing, their business plan and structure, is how they tied the old school and the new school.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I was a little bit taken aback. Like, people were asking, who's Terry Bogard? I was like, okay, you're a younger generation. But the fact that they're introducing, you know, newer gamers to a character, right, to even a game series that they've never heard of, I think is awesome how they implement that, because you still have that excitement. You have the older generation that is like, yes, I love Fatal Fury. I'm glad he's coming to there. And then you have the younger one is like, yes, a new character I get to learn. There's two different types of excitements, but they're still excited over the same thing.
Absolutely.
And then on top of, I guess the only really huge announcement that is with the most ridiculous name, the longest name, is the Super Nintendo Entertainment System Nintendo Switch Online.
Yeah, what is that? Because I didn't really get a chance. I saw the name, but it was like, I didn't get a chance to look at that. So fill me in on that.
You're going to have access to libraries for the Super NES. I'm looking actually for the game, like the amount of games that's going to be available to it. You know, once you get past the name of the line of the actual service, like, do you really, Nintendo, need your name in there twice
to it's announce? Nintendo.
Like, can it have just been Super NES Online? Right. No, it's Super Nintendo Entertainment System Nintendo Switch Online. Like,
I'm not mad at
NES
it.
NES Online would have been fine, too.
So, how many games did they say that they would have? Did they give a number, or...?
They did. I can't. 20 of them.
20?
20 coming September 5th. So 3 days ago. It was all available. You can get it now. Let's see. 20 games would join the Nintendo Switch Online. That one doesn't have the full list. But they are expanding on top of it, which I think is cool. I think this is the whole list. So 20 games will join the Nintendo Switch Online lineup, including Super Mario World, Super Mario Kart, Legend of Zelda, Link to the Past, Super Metroid, Stunt Race FX, Kirby's Dream Land 3, Super Mario World 2, Yoshi's Island, Star Fox, F-Zero, Pilot Wings, Kirby's Dream Course, Brawl Brothers, Breath of Fire, Damien's Crest, Joe and Mac 2, Lost in the Tropics, Super EDF, or Earth Defense Force, Super Ghouls and Ghosts, Super Puyo Puyo 2, which is available for the first time in the U.S., Super Soccer, and Super Tennis. Of those games that I love and I want to go back and play, F-Zero.
F-Zero. Absolutely.
I love that. A Link to the Past, I think, I actually own the original, so I can play that anytime I want. But now I can play it on my Switch. And Super Ghouls and Ghosts.
Good game.
But I'm looking forward to what they're having. They also announced that you can get the wireless Super NES controller. So you can play for anybody who's feeling super nostalgic there. I think the price point for that was $29.99. And if you don't want to spend the $29.99, I know there's actually mod kits out there. I think we talked about it before. 8-bit or 8-bot, I think it was, where you can install the Bluetooth. 8-bit do
or something like that?
Yeah, where you can modify your original NES or Super NES. I don't know how compatible that would be for the Switch, though. But I know that's there's out there, and I'm sure there's somebody that's figured out how to make that manageable and working with your Switch. But the fact that you can get it, new generation gets to experience it.
Absolutely.
I think it's great.
Yeah. So, good stuff. Nintendo, they stay in their lane. They do what they have to do when they're releasing products. I'm all for it. I'm all for it. Can't say anything bad about Nintendo. They changed my life as it relates to gaming. That was my first introduction to games. And I started thinking about that, and I was like, am I lying to myself? Have I lied to myself all these years saying that Nintendo was my first introduction? Because I had to think about that. Because if TurboGrafx-16 came out first, then I have to change that, because I used to go to my cousin's house and play TurboGrafx-16. So if that came out first before Nintendo, if that was the fuel that, you know, was lit for me to get the Nintendo, so I have to really say foundationally TurboGrafx-16 changed it for me, and then Nintendo just amplified that in a whole new way. But I would have to check the timeline in years and what came out first. If the TurboGrafx-16 came out first, then I have to give credit where credit's due for my enjoyment for games foundationally. It would have to be those two.
I'm going to have to say this. It's not even necessarily about that. These controllers are starting to screw me up on what
Which
I should
ones?
Be hitting. All of them.
Which one?
All of
them. I have four on this table right now. Which ones are you talking about?
It's the button layout. It's the four button layout here. Okay. So you
have this one, and this one has no labels on it. Do you like no labels?
I don't mind the no labels. It's me.
Because this has no labels on it.
The scuff ones?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think my son took my scuffs. But yeah, I have the blackout ones for that. It's not that. Nothing freaks me out more than trying to remember where X is.
So we should name this episode, Where is X?
Because
I know exactly what you mean, because so X is only moved, if you want to say that. X is not 6 o'clock on the Xbox controller. It's 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
Okay. But on the PlayStation controllers and even the Astro controller, it's 6 o'clock.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then if you are playing it on the Switch.
Yeah.
It's 12 o'clock.
It's 12. Wait.
X is on the top.
Let me look. It's 12 o'clock.
Yes.
Okay. Wow.
You have no idea, because I love all my platforms. I might love one more than the other, but right. I love them all. But I was just like, just because I was like looking, I had the Super NES controller on the screen over here. I was reading that article. I looked at it, I was like, X is up there. And because I haven't tried it yet, but, you know, the whole integration of being able to use your 3 or your Xbox controller with your Switch and all of that other stuff, A, B, X, and Y is flipped on both of them. So, like, on the Xbox controller, A isn't the is the bottom at 6 o'clock. B is at 3 o'clock. X is at 9 o'clock, and Y is at 12 o'clock. Right. On the switch,
right,
A and B is switched. So A is now 3, B is 6, Y is 9, and then X is 12.
Mm.
So having to work that is so, it worries me. And like when I was playing Man of Medan, I use the C40s. It's a little bit overkill, but it's like my default controller to go to when I'm playing PC
games.
Yeah,
it's really good. Yeah.
It's the default controller. So I have that. I'm playing it. But all of my PC games are just naturally mapped for an Xbox controller. So all of the buttons, all of the quick time events are all schemed for an Xbox controller.
Right.
So my mind sees the Xbox prompt, but my hands and my mind is we're holding a PlayStation. So I'm like, okay, where's X?
Where's X?
I know where it is on my controller, right. But I had to keep my Xbox controller in front of me to look at it. To be like, yes, this is where X is. Like you have no idea the anxiety I'm getting on things. So now that you're introducing, you know, you got the Nintendo Switch in there, I'm like, yep.
So
I'm just done.
I have to confess. At a glance, I actually have the Xbox controller. Like I could see it. So just in case, I need to figure out what the mapping is. So I definitely understand what you're saying there.
And you welcome, just Ruru and Aaron. How are you guys doing today?
What's up, guys? Thanks for stopping through. I definitely get that.
Yeah, but now, like, I think the hardest part is in between the Xbox and the Switch, or just Nintendo products in general, because they've never changed their button layouts. Well, kind of did when they had the N64.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even remember where the X was on that one. I'm pretty sure it was still at the top. But yeah, because like the Switch and the Xbox, they're just swapped.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know anymore. I'm just frustration.
A lot of frustration. But just have it at a glance. I have it at a glance, and I think that helps for the most part.
But when you're doing quick time events, you can't do that. You have to be really quick on it. And that's like one of my deaths in Man of Medan happened because I'm like, X, like, that's not it. No.
So you lost somebody.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Wow.
User error. Sad times. But anyway.
So so here's a couple of things. Of course, we're going to mention some Cyberpunk stuff, Death Stranding. We got some Gears stuff. Of course, River City Girls. I want to mention that a little bit towards the end. Next thing is Ikumi Nakamura. She was the creative director for Ghostwire Tokyo. And I think when they did their showcase for Bethesda, she was very, you know, excited to announce and share the trailer. Very
animated
and right, and just, you know, and she wanted to, you know, fully enjoy that experience with the big crowd that she had and everything like that. And then they showed the trailer, right? And then the trailer is one of the most amazing things that I've seen in a long time. And the fact that I don't like horror suspense craziness like that, I'm even interested in playing the game Ghostwire Tokyo.
And
yeah, and then we find out recently that she left. She's no longer with Ghostwire Tokyo. So it's like, all right, I don't know if she's announced what she's going to be working on next. I know LinkedIn stuff. I'm sure she's getting offers from other companies and things like that. But your thoughts on that?
I am not worried. Aaron's saying that he's worried that she's gone. I'm not. Simply because I think might be an unfair assessment of this. From the trailer, it looks like they've already done a good portion or completed a good portion of the game, especially with the news and whatever you can find out that's available out there. It sounds like a good portion is already completed. I don't think just because somebody leaves, and this goes for any game, especially ones that are pretty further along. I don't think because one person leaves, it will necessarily change the path that they're going to go on.
Okay, can I add something there and then be quiet for a second?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so the Anthem person that left and then the Halo person that left, I want to hear your thoughts on that within the context of this conversation.
Okay. Well, Ghostwire hasn't really like come out. So I think just because she's gone doesn't mean that they're going to change the path that she already had planned with her team. I think they're going to be going on. What worries me is what new thing is going to be added onto it already. So I'm not too worried. She was a very delightful personality to have a face tied to that game. That I will miss. Because when it does release, you know that she's not necessarily going to be a part of the marketing. She's not going to be a part of, like, you know, doing their rounds and announcements and showcasing. So that's a little bit sad for me. Overall, as a game, I still want to play it. Like you're saying, that was a really great trailer. And it was very intriguing. So there's no way that I cannot not play it.
Yeah, especially the guy at the end with the bow and arrow with elemental magic powers, it seems. So I would love to know how this character, male or female, incorporates the ability to use a bow and arrow as well as their gifts for, I guess, mystical abilities, if you want to say that, right? Based on what we saw. I think that'd be really interesting to see.
So now you want to know my thoughts about, you know, Anthem and Halo?
Yeah, combined with the context of, yeah, this convo.
Well, first of all, Anthem was messed up with, no matter what. It doesn't matter who came and when. That game was a hot mess before it even released. After finding out, you know, after the release date, all the things that were going on behind the scenes, all of the story behind that. That thing was messed up to begin with.
Hmm.
It just had a really, really fancy way of sugarcoating this illusion of a completed game. That one, there's no hope. There's no hope. Ruru says that's the EA's Final Fantasy 14. Yeah, I guess. Halo? Okay, Halo. That one's hard.
I'm scared.
That one is a 50-50.
Okay.
That one, I think it's cause to be worried about what's going to happen and path going forward. But I also think that Halo has a really good longstanding history.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty much having faith in the team overall and carrying out with the vision. But I can see that one actually going bad. Like, I can see it going both ways.
Man, I hope not, man. I hope not.
Anthem, there's no hope for Anthem.
I hope not.
You look so worried.
I am. I really am. I hope not. But any more thoughts on that?
No.
It's I'm a little worried about that. But we shall see. We shall see what happens. Cyberpunk, of course, we're excited about Cyberpunk 2077. That's April. Seems like everything is moving so fast. Borderlands is right around the corner. Then we're going to hit Destiny stuff in October. And then whatever's happening in November with Call of Duty. And then, you know, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. And then next year, right? Everything seems to be moving so fast, right? So the recent thing that they announced for Cyberpunk 2077 is that it will get multiplayer. But it doesn't sound like it's going to get multiplayer right away. And also the cutscenes will be first person mainly for the cutscenes. Any thoughts on that?
I find it very interesting that they're going to be adding multiplayer. What worries me about that is it sounds like an afterthought. And it is coming across as an afterthought because, yes, multiplayer will not be available on launch day. I don't see that even being possible to have multiplayer available launch day whatsoever. So it's nice that they're going to be taking it. They're going to eventually add it on, but they have postings for people to join their team specifically to work on the multiplayer aspect of it. And that's what kind of bothers me. So I'm glad that, Aaron Shask says, I'm glad they're focused on a good game over adding multiplayer. That is 100%. I'm glad that they're focused on the single player experience and game and quest, and then later on implementing that. I don't know how much more value it adds to the game. I'm sure it does, but I think it's me having transitioned to that thought of having that multiplier, because I spent the last like six, seven years, about around there, just looking forward to the single player experience and excited about the single player experience. That multiplayer wasn't even something I would even consider thinking or wanting to have in there, because majority of their games are single player. So adding that is, I'm glad that they want to broaden their horizons and make it an even deeper experience for players to have with others.
Yeah.
But that feeling of now you're adding it in, now you're looking for people to fill these positions.
Right.
Why? Like, I just hope that the amount of time that they take putting into the multiplayer, right. I don't want it to take another 6-7 years for them to implement it, but I hope they take as much care, thinking, and precision in adding that multiplayer aspect as they are with the single player experience.
Yeah. So my thoughts on that real quick. Okay, so before I give my thoughts on that, I just want to share something. So before I get canceled, because I said Call of Duty is in November, which is what I think I said. It's actually October 25, right? 2019. So I just want to set that record straight for the fact checkers. Okay, so, all right, so that's done. Next thing, for this particular game, 2077, I like the fact that they realize that their sandbox is so huge and that they can do so much with it, right? And knowing that they could do so much with it, they're considering adding the multiplayer component to it.
Your video is stuttering. Your audio is fine, just your video is stuttering.
Oh, I don't know. I didn't change anything.
Okay. Well, I can hear you fine.
Yeah, so so the fact that they're considering the multiplayer, understanding the fact that their sandbox is so huge, I don't necessarily have an issue with that, because the first person campaign of the game we're so excited about based on everything that we've seen. And I think that that will carry over for a long time based on the things that we can do in the game. So by the time that we get the multiplayer, even though, as you mentioned, it seems like an afterthought, I think it's going to be a great addition to the game based on how much they've been putting into the games that we played from them already. That's how I'm looking at it.
Yeah, and that's fair. That's fair. Aaron says, multiplayer afterthoughts are scary. Think Tomb Raider 2013. And to Aaron, Cyberpunk doesn't have to have multiplayer, but it would be cool. I prefer co-op over competitive, though. Oh, yeah, definitely. I would love to have just co-op and to experience that and to build and have different classes to handle different situations with multiple friends. I would take even if it's a two-player co-op. Four-player would be amazing. And obviously, with those types of games, you'd have the scaling and difficulties by adding more players. At that point, does it turn into a looter shooter? I don't know. The whole multiplayer, if it turns into this competitive thing, oh boy. I can see that being a hot mess. I can see that being a hot mess more than a great success, to be honest. Right.
But they've communicated enough for us to be confident that this experience is going to be a great experience. And I don't see as much communication as we've seen from the team, whether it's at a convention or even recently with their live streams, I don't see them falling off of that, because they understand how big the community is excited for this particular project and even their previous projects.
Yeah, I have faith in them. I have faith in them. It's just, no matter how much I've loved everything that they've done, I got to maintain that realistic thing of like, just because you're doing all these things amazing doesn't mean that you can possibly, you know, 100% smoothly integrate this new feature, especially as an afterthought. Like, I don't know. So if I had to put a timeline of maybe when to expect it, I can see it as being like a year out DLC after it's already been released.
Yeah.
I can see that. But even that sounds like too short of a time period to be working on something that you're adding on into this game.
Still exciting. Still
but
hype.
Their next announcement, I'm not happy about. I'm not. So they're also going to be using first person cutscenes.
You're not hyped about
that. No, I am not. I am very, very much not. Because, okay, as much as I want to play and I'm going to play Cyberpunk, right, I cannot play a lot of first persons. There's a lot. And I am banking on the fact that what we've seen as demos and on YouTube and all of this other stuff, that I haven't had to deal with any migraines or nausea or any of those issues, I'm taking it as a good sign that I can play it. But a lot of those demos have kind of been a slower pace and I can only handle so much. So mm-hmm. to force somebody to have to watch the cutscenes in first person in which I do not have control of the movement, I don't have control of where they're looking and how quick they're looking or right. any of that, that's hard for me. Like, and on top of that, I think we're all very much groomed to experience cutscenes in a third person perspective. I like to see how my character is acting. I like to see my character's facial expressions. I want to see that. That's part of the excitement and joy of watching these things for me. To take that away, to change it up, I'm not a fan of that. What are your thoughts?
I want to see it first. Maybe that would allow me to be more immersed in the experience. I love to see the characters that we've created. Takes away from that. So I have mixed emotions on it. But I think that I want to see the flow, because everything is contextual, right? Everything is contextual. Right. So I want to see how they transition into these things and see if I'm like turned off by it. But we'll have to see in April. But
I'm okay, you're the good neutral on it.
I just want to wait and see, because maybe it's not a bad experience. That's all. That's all. And a lot of things that, you know, I'm looking forward to now anyway is games that I either played a version of in the past or things that I know I'm going to like, you know. So I'm pretty cookie cutter as it relates to some of the games that I'm currently playing anyway. So it's hard for me not to like an experience unless I do Control, which was kind of dope. I checked that out a little bit. The scary one that you played, I may or may not. Madon. May or may not. That looks dope, right? Telling Lies, you did that recently and stuff. So those are cool experiences, and I like to see them as you check them out. But most of my stuff is really cookie cutter. I'm really predictable in the games that I'm going to like. It's just what's kind of unpredictable right now, to some degree, is will exclusives pull me to other platforms away from the PC right now, because PC is my main. It seems that it's becoming my main day by day, so... That's it.
Aaron says he likes to see his character. He's customized. That's how I feel. Like, I want to see my character. But I think right now I'm going to maintain a very hard stance that I don't like this change.
Yeah.
It's great when you get to customize it. I don't want to only see my full character when I'm, like, you know, at a changing station. Yeah, like I think even when they're riding the motorcycle, that's in first person.
You can kind of see them a little bit. I think it was all
in first person. I want the ability to decide,
right,
if it's in first person or third. I know that's going to be extra work for them to create these two different options, but give me the option.
Right, you want the option.
I do, and if it's for immersion, great, if you know, experience that. But for me, the vehicles, okay, Aaron says the vehicles you can do third person, because I could have sworn I remember just seeing on the first person. That's what I remember. But even that's not enough, just seeing it riding on the motorcycle. Like, you're gonna make me ride a motorcycle everywhere just so I can see the cool outfit that I just bought my character, or the upgrades that I did. Cutscenes, no. Don't mess with my formula of all previous games. Don't mess with it.
We shall see. And I'm sure we'll revisit this conversation. I'm sure.
I don't think I'm the only one that feels that way, though. So
no, you're not.
That's a good thing. So hopefully the people that feel this way have a loud enough voice that they're going to use it. That we're like, okay, we'll do the third person.
Right. Yeah, and that's cool. That's cool. I'm looking forward to seeing how they, you know, navigate those waters as we approach game release, right? Death Stranding. Daniela, what's up?
I am excited. I can't wait for it. I'm going to play Death Stranding. What am I doing for Thanksgiving? Praising Hideo Kojima.
Yes, that's
while
what
playing
you're doing.
Death Stranding. That's going to be my November.
Okay.
But, yeah, I'm excited. I'll play it any way that I can. And I got a PS4 Pro. So it's going to be glorious.
You're ready. You got everything.
Yes,
you're ready to go.
It's like that and Cyberpunk are the only two things I have actually pre-ordered. I haven't pre-ordered in a long time, but I needed that special collector's edition. So that's what I think.
So I like the cutscenes that we've seen for Death Stranding thus far. It's given us a glimpse of the master director that is Hideo Kojima at work, right? So according to this recent news, they're going to have a very easy mode to allow us to experience that those narratives in that way, right? If you're not necessarily want to put on a harder difficulty level, you can experience it to that cinematic format that the game has so embedded in it, right? So I think I'm excited for those things, where games allow you to experience those things because they know they put so much work into those things. And it's refreshing because we know that this guy, man, anything that he puts his mind to, his team on, they just take it to a level that we've never experienced before. And it's going to be the standard for a lot of things. It's probably going to birth new cinematographers based on how he creates those scenes that we're about to experience in Death Stranding. So I'm excited for whatever the game is, right? We've mentioned that in the past, but some of the things that we've seen, it's pretty exciting.
So, okay, what Aaron said here, the very easy mode is good for the cinematic playthrough and the non-gamers. At first, when that was kind of confirmed about the very easy mode, I thought it was like a slap to the face of like, really? Is your game going to be that bad that we need a very easy mode? But like reading into it, but why? Because there is so much marketing, so much hype, so much buildup that's being put behind this game. It is. I see it attracting the non-gamers to want to try it, to want to play it, which is awesome.
Right.
If that's really going to be their first experience, to give that option. And then I was also thinking about other games and other series that I would have loved to have that, just not necessarily because I want to play the game, but I want to know the stories, like Uncharted.
Right. Uncharted.
I know you're trying to get
Uncharted.
Me. You've been wanting me to play Uncharted, but for me, I don't necessarily want to play Uncharted. I want to kind of go through it to learn the story, to see the cutscenes, to experience in that way. I don't want to necessarily struggle through whatever fight scenes, whatever gameplay I have to go through. Not to say
you can do that now. You can do that now, actually.
All on YouTube.
Yeah, absolutely.
But for even types of games like that, Mass Effect is another one that I would have liked that option in, just so that I'm still immersed into the game because it's a story that immerses you, not necessarily the shooting.
Right.
So I can understand why that would be a great idea to have, and I actually warmed up to that feeling. Will I personally choose very easy mode? Probably not. Probably just like your standard normal, maybe a hard difficulty. But I appreciate having that option. Now I kind of want to see how many non-gamers are specifically jumping in just
the very easy mode. Yeah.
Well, not even just the very easy mode, just experience what this game is about.
Okay.
Because there's a lot that's going behind it, a lot that has been released about it. And a lot nobody understands about it.
Right, a lot. Right.
So, yeah, especially with that kind of sidebar, yeah, Hideo can just do anything.
Mm-hmm.
Literally anything. I'm starting to think, Meg, do you know what the game you're making is? No. I'm very sure that he's probably the only person that knows the game he's making. And everybody
Absolutely.
Is like, I picture Hideo sending out an email at the beginning of the day. He's like, I had this vision that it's going to do this, and it's going to be like this, and he's going to give the whole story, and everybody else's job is trying to figure out, okay, so let's figure out how to implement this said thing that he emailed us this morning for.
Right.
That is our job.
Right. Like, even some of the cutscenes that I remember seeing in Metal Gear 5, I mean, just amazing stuff, man.
I just want to play. But you know what? I'm glad cutscenes are going to be in third person.
Yeah, it's gonna be good. So the next one is all yours, Daniela, because I've seen things. I've looked at a couple of clips, but
get me started on that. I haven't even been able to play it. I am so angry at Gears 5,
okay, well,
Xbox,
never mind.
And the Coalition. That is my impressions right now. I am angry.
Never mind then.
Frustrated. I am angry. I have gotten to play maybe 20 minutes.
Okay, so how was your 20 minutes?
Terrible. No. I can't give a full impression of this because right now it's unfair,
okay.
And
it's
frustrating.
So
but I can talk about it. So I do have the Ultimate Gamer Pass.
I'm gonna let you talk about it. I'm just going to name this so I don't forget reactions instead.
You can just name it angry reactions. See, Aaron knows. Server's being crap has been terrible. And that's exactly what it is. So I have the Xbox, you know, Game Pass. You can play it on the 6th. And it's funny because play it on the 6th, but you can actually play it on the 5th. I think it was available to play at like 3 p.m. Hawaii Standard Time. So was ready, all geared up, no puns intended. And I was originally going to play it on PC. When I was going to play it on PC, I was having connection issues. Like, the service kept dropping out. So I thought it was just like, okay, maybe it's just a PC version. I already had it downloaded on my Xbox, and it was up at that time. And the campaign is a 3-player co-op, which is, this is the first time that you can actually play as the drone, which is formerly, in past
Jack.
Games, it was Jack. But this game, it's Dave. And, his name's Dave. If I had a drone, I think I'd name him Dave too. But I was playing as a drone.
Is like Jack the Ripper kind of? Well, never mind. I thought that's what it was going for. But
well, it's different. Maybe, you know, it's different. This one's, it's Dave. They can have others. This one's Dave. So I was playing as Dave. And I was with my boyfriend and a friend of ours. We were playing through. And I kept getting disconnected. And I would have to jump back into the game. And then I was disconnected again. And then it got to the point where we all just kept getting disconnected. Now, I can understand being disconnected if it was multiplayer. If we were doing versus, doing Horde maybe. But the campaign?
Yeah.
Really? The campaign. And they're like, okay. So one of our buddies, he was playing on PC. So we're like, oh, maybe it's because of this weird connection, crossplay between the PC and the Xbox. He jumped on his Xbox. Same exact issue. Jumped on my PC. Same exact issue. Like, no matter what we did. All right. Never mind. The services are crap. All right. It's kind of day one. You have a lot of people wanting to play. Maybe it's overloaded. Let it go. It's Friday. Xbox servers went down. You can't play anything. You couldn't even sign in.
On the weekend.
It's like, okay. I can't even access that campaign to play by myself because of Xbox servers being down. I'm playing by myself.
Yeah.
Like, this was unacceptable. I have it. I didn't even bother on Saturday. I was, like, frustrated. And I think I woke up this morning and they're still having problems. Like, they're trying to be transparent and put up updates. Oh, we're rolling up this update and we're trying to improve the stability.
Yeah.
But it's, I'm like, just get this in order, please. Please. I just want to play. It's just the campaign. Like, why are you making this so difficult for the campaign? At this point, I will take their server or lack thereof servers of having it hosted by peers and just switching hosts. Like, whoever has a better connection, you get to have it. You get to host it. You do it.
Eesh.
Aaron says, do we really own games if we have to be online and servers have to be live even for single player? Mm. I feel the answer is no. And you know what makes that scary is their next generation is going to rely very heavily on their online service.
On the internet. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, what's the point of having these games if I can't play them?
Yeah.
What's the point of paying for Xbox Pass? Can't play them. What's the point of buying these collector's editions to play it 4 days early if, you know what, you can't play it until, like, fully without issues until the actual release date? It's frustrating. It is very frustrating, and I'm very angry about it. Is the campaign going to be good? Probably. But right now, my experience of being able to just experience that?
Yikes.
No. I'm frustrated. I'm mad. But that has more to do with just their servers.
Yeah.
Coalition didn't think this was going to be a massive release they'd need more server space for. Or better, I have no clue. Betas. Maybe they bought their servers in bulk from some knockoff China brand. I don't know. I don't know at this point. But it's frustrating, and I'm hoping before our next show I can actually play through the whole game and experience it, because the story of Gears and everything the Coalition has done is great. It's fun. Mm. But my Gears experience right now is playing Gears Pop on my phone. And that is that.
Okay.
I can't even
Thank
experience
you,
Dave Bautista in the game, okay? It's cool that he's in there. Can't even experience playing it. I'm heartbroken.
All right.
Thank you for coming to my TED Talk.
There you have it, folks. There you have it. Okay, so yeah, so you mentioned Dave Bautista, Gears 5. All right, cool. I hope you get a chance to play it really, really soon. And if you do, let me know so I can pop in and check it out. We'd love to experience a smoother experience with you when you start playing Gears 5.
So to take away from my saltiness, you can give some happy, sweet love to this next one. Because this one's all you.
I mean, this is, I love, I don't know what it is about River City, that world or the lore of it. But I think my first River City game was River City Ransom in 1989. And I think ever since then, and even within that time, I was playing the Double Dragon games, and those were really dope, of course. And I fell in love with that world. So when they redid River City Ransom, and so I didn't know they had so many games in between. And then I found out about River City Ransom Underground, River City Underground, that game, right, which you gifted me. And I've enjoyed that experience. And now they have River City Girls, which I started playing recently. And I mean, there's really nothing bad I can say about this game. This game is just everything dope. I mean, from the voice acting to the action, and I've only played a little bit of the game, but I'm really biased about this particular series as it stands. It is an amazing soundtrack. Is incredible. It's incredible. I don't know who did the soundtrack. I need to go Google that. But the soundtrack in the game is incredible. It works well with the characters and just the attitude and character. Individual characters of the voice actors as they speak to each other. I think that's really, really great. And there's unlockables, there's character help, kind of like Marvel vs. Capcom when you need help. If you beat up a sequence of characters, the last character, you can have that particular individual be part of your team. So basically you press a button and they come in, they do a special move, and then they go away, and then they kind of like their meter goes to full again, and when you're ready to use them again, et cetera, rinse and repeat. So I think you get a collection of those characters while you're using the main characters, the ladies, in this game. I'm a super fan. I love what they've done there, and I'm trying to see if there's a way for me to go back with my current consoles and see if I can play some of the ones that I've missed, the River City games that I've missed. But outside of River City Ransom, which I have the actual cartridge for Nintendo, And then River City Girls was the recent game that I started playing. I don't know if they did anything on the PS4 or the Xbox 360, so I'd have to go back and check. But I love what they've done there. So if you have a chance to check it out, definitely check it out. If you like side-scrolling beat-em-up titles with RPG elements infused in, I think that it's a great experience.
What's the story of River City Girls?
They kidnap the boyfriends, and they have to go get the boyfriends back by beating up people.
That's essentially what. Is it worth it, though? If it's just your boyfriend, he didn't put a ring on them, it. You have no obligations.
According to them, it sounds so they are breaking out of detention to go do this thing. So you have to break out of detention to go beat up wherever you need to beat up to get to a spot where you can find out what happened to your boyfriends. And even the theme song is great. It's memorable. It's one that you want on replay because it's really catchy. It's very similar to the game that you played. What was that game? Night, the one that you that they remastered for you recently.
Night Trap?
Night Trap, yeah. Very catchy, memorable tracks like those games. So you have that, you know, catchy themes like, you know, Pokemon, catchy themes like Night Trap, or even River City Girls. If you start listening to that, it's dope. I like it. I really do. So check it out if you can. It's dope.
What kind of rating would you give it on a 10?
On a 10, 10.5. It's off the scales, really. Yeah, absolutely.
10.5.
Yeah. All right. It's a side-scrolling, beat 'em up with awesome music. The story is enough for you to want to play through the process. You have bosses that you have to beat up in a process. You have special moves that are recognizable based on some fighting games that you played or you've seen in the past or iconic characters have done, you know, whether it's a Ryu or Ken or characters like that have done some iconic moves that we know of that you can see that they've implemented in a game like this. And even, you know, River City Ransom had some iconic moves that we remember from those days. I started playing Street Fighter in the 90s, so within that genre of games, even though it's a side-scrolling beat-em-up title, they've paid homage to iconic characters of those eras and even today. So, yeah.
All right, now you have me feeling like I'm missing out on something.
It's dope. Check it out.
Because our friend Mikel, he said he was over the moon about it too. So
it's well done. Very well done.
And Aaron says that River City Ransom is on the Switch in the NES online services.
Mm.
Another incredibly long name of the Super Nintendo Entertainment System, Nintendo Switch Online.
Yeah, that one. Yeah, it's definitely worth. I mean, if you like side-scrolling beat 'em up games, great soundtrack, that kind of a thing, I think it's worth when you have the time to, you know, do a couple of minutes here, a couple of stages there on a game like that. It's definitely worth it. Beautiful artwork, too.
Are you the type that would, if the game you really love, also like River City Girls, if they have the available physical copy of the soundtrack, that you would actually go and buy it?
I would check it out for sure. Buy it? No, but I'd definitely check it out. I'd have it on replay somewhere. On Spotify or some digital service. Like, there's certain soundtracks that I love now that I think was iconic even in the game, like Persona 5, that once in a while, for me to just hear those tunes, I'd go on YouTube or Spotify. If they have a playlist of those, I'll go check out. Street Fighter, sometimes I'll do that with. Zelda, a lot more the chill hop versions of Zelda tracks I'll listen to as of late. But those are iconic scores, if you will, for the games of our time, whether you go through Metal Gear soundtracks, Call of Duty with Hans Zimmer when he did the score for Call of Duty, whatever year that was one of the most memorable for me to remember that Hans Zimmer worked on a score for a Call of Duty game. That's just incredible. So I'll go back from time to time just to hear it, or even get in a mind space before playing any PvP type of game, especially if I really want to go in and destroy whoever, I'll listen to those iconic soundtracks because they put me in a mind space where I'm going to dominate. So they're there for us to tap into. I think sometimes we forget how much incredible music that we've experienced in the last decade or two decades for us as, you know, gamers and tech heads and stuff like that.
Okay, I bring that up because I don't necessarily go out, like, there's a lot, like you're saying, all mentioning all those games, really great soundtracks. Very few will actually go and buy a physical, but I realize that I will not buy them on a CD.
Mm-hmm.
I realize that if it comes out, like, for whatever reason, I don't know what triggers it in me, but if it's on vinyl, like, I don't even have a vinyl player, but I want a vinyl player because I want these games. I know, Annapurna Interactive, which is, mm-hmm. They created Her Story and Telling Lies. They mm-hmm. had special at PAX West of one of the soundtracks. It was on vinyl. I was like, that's really cool. I believe Limited Run Games. This isn't on vinyl, but I want it. Limited Run Games is going to have a special exclusive. It goes on sale 10 a.m. Eastern time on their website for the Snatcher soundtrack on cassette.
Mm.
I need it. It's also getting packaged in your classic Sega CD casing. It's going to be the cassettes. I really, really want that. And I have made it a goal that if I get one of the Snatcher soundtracks, I'm going to carry that thing around with me to every con or event because I am determined to have Hideo Kojima sign that thing. I am absolutely determined. That's a bucket list item for me if I am able to purchase one. But I realized, like, when River City Girls, Ready to Be Set and Ransom, Steam has collector's editions in which most of the times all it really consists of is a digital download of the soundtrack. I don't mm-hmm. buy those. I don't really go out of my way for it. I buy the game. That's how I'm going to support you. But nothing really compels me to want to mm-hmm. buy the extra bonus to download it because you have services like YouTube that has the entire soundtrack right. on there. You have Spotify. You have Pandora. You have all of these different avenues.
The one soundtrack that was like must have on a local server for me was when that whole thing came out with Marty O'Donnell and that Halo score that was never released until on some random weekend it came out. It was like 8 or 9 tracks of what he did while he was with the studio. And that came out, that was all over the internet. And that was one to definitely listen to. You know, I think it was like 6 to 8 tracks. Very, very well done. And then you have, of course, you know, the Halo soundtracks, absolutely incredible. Then you have, of course, the Destiny stuff, incredible. Then you have Division 2, which, you know, people sleep on. That has iconic tracks in there as well. There's so many good stuff out there right now. And we could just go down the list of what's out there.
There's a lot. Aaron also says that Limited Run Games has a collector's edition of the game. And he thinks it has a soundtrack and a cartridge. It does have a cartridge. I'm pretty sure it has the soundtrack as well, too. In what format is the soundtrack? I'm not 100% sure for that. And that's all for the River City Girls. They do. I want something. Well, I do have something from Limited Run Games, which is my Night Trap. But I want, like, almost their entire collection because Limited Run Games
mm-hmm.
sticks true to their name of bringing, you know, physical life to games that are normally either they're out, they're not in regular rotation, right. or they're only digital only. I love that they do that. I do.
Absolutely.
And they were doing that for certain PS Vita games as well, too. But I don't think they can do Vita games anymore specifically because they ran out of being able to purchase the actual physical cartridges to put them on. I don't think there's a vendor anymore because they stopped servicing Vita games, which is a very sad thing. But I never, ever, until this weekend, hopefully, make it in time before they sell out. They sell out quick.
Yeah, they do.
They really do. And because they go by Eastern time for when they open up the sales, that's like 4 a.m. my time, which mm-hmm. means I got to wake up at the very latest 3:30 to be able to make any purchases.
Mm.
I'm determined this Friday, though. I'm going to get that Snatcher soundtrack. I don't even know how much it is, but I'm going to get it.
So good stuff. There's definitely a lot of good stuff out there. And as you mentioned, YouTube is a great spot to check them out. And sometimes they do anniversary edition of soundtracks. I think Epic Games did like a 20th anniversary collective of sounds that they released as a zipped download on their website. That was a while ago. I don't know if they still even have it up. But that was for individuals who wanted to, you know, enjoy that. And they put that out for free. So a lot of these companies or publishers or even sometimes developers, they will put out sounds of those things, as we've seen in the past, for us to check out some of the iconic songs and scores of our time.
And there's a lot. There's a lot.
Absolutely. So Reggie used to be with Nintendo. We love Reggie. I've had the pleasure of meeting Reggie, which is, he's tall. He's a very, very cool guy. Very, very bundle of joy, if you will. And it was an honor to meet him. Reggie Phil's AIM, he's actually going to be teaching a class at Cornell University. That is his alma mater. And that's going to be in New York. It's a leadership type of vibe, leaders in residence with Reggie Phil's Ames. And that is going to be open to the public. That is in October 21st, 7 to 9 p.m. Yeah, I actually have it on my calendar. I want to see if I can attend that. And hopefully I can definitely make it to that. October 21, 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. That's going to be... I think where's the venue? Call Auditorium, Kennedy Hall. That's at Cornell University. So they have all the information on the website. I will link it in the show notes. And I think that is the last thing that we have on our notes. But Reggie's dope. Reggie's really, really dope. And he's very intentional in his conversations and even his interviews. I've always appreciated that about him. He thinks about what he's going to say before he says it. I wish we saw that a lot more with, you know, individuals that we listen to on a regular basis, whether that is a content creator or, you know, sports figure, anchor, whatever the case might be. But he's dope. And I'm going to try to make that, and we'll see what happens with it.
I hope you can make it. I would love to hear what you learned from it and you know, how it went. It seems like a lot to cover, and like... You said 7 to 9, but like the lecture itself is 7 to 8. So it's like an hour, yeah. Hour long. So I'd still love to see what happens. And I hope there's like a Q&A after.
Yeah.
And just to see like what kind of questions that he'll be getting and what people are curious about. Because I'm sure there's a lot.
Yeah.
He has much years of experience.
Yeah, absolutely. And as the word goes around, I'm sure that place is going to be packed. I would be surprised if there's open seats.
Well, good luck to you.
Thank you. I'm trying to make it and head out there. But yeah, so I think that's all I have. If you have anything else, definitely feel free to add it to the conversation. And I'm done. I'm good.
I do have a question for you.
Okay.
So yesterday on Girl Streamers, I had a fireside chat with our friend, Carice. We're talking
Love
about networking and cons and meetups, and we were giving all our personal experience, advice, things we've learned over the years.
Right.
You had to give one piece of networking advice, just one. What would it be?
Just one.
Just one. I know it's hard. Believe me, we broke this fireside chat into two different episodes that covered 8 hours. So one
okay,
is hard.
Just one. Okay. Leave your pride at home.
That's actually really good. We didn't even cover anything about pride. Check your ego. Here you go.
Leave it at home. Because at the end of the day, everybody has experiences, even though you may not know what the experiences are. I never even if I believe that I've covered more ground than somebody, that doesn't mean that they can't teach me something, right? So, yeah, we have, you know, this amount of shows and stuff like that, but that doesn't mean I can't learn something from a YouTuber that's been consistent in the last, you know, 4 or 5 years, who's only 19, who's killing it. That does that mean I can't learn from them? So leave your pride at home.
I like that. I like that. I'm going to keep that for myself now and be like, Andrew said.
Yeah.
All right. And that's it. That's it. I just wanted to know what your one piece of advice would be. Yep. I like that. You thought of that pretty quick too. On the fly. All right. If anybody doesn't have any questions for us, you want any inputs or anything like that, let us know in chat. If not, if you're listening to this after the fact on your favorite podcatchers, you can always email us or you can reach out to us on Twitter. You can find us on all of our social medias. You can find Andrew on Twitter, Instagram, Twitch at... Oh, I was thinking that you're going to input it. You're just like, yeah, yeah, you. You can find him at Uriah, U-R-I-Y-Y-A. You also can find all of our information. We both have streamer links. So it's streamerlinks.com/Uriah, U-R-I-Y-Y-A. Same thing for me. I'm Miss DJM on everything. And you can find me at streamerlinks.com/Miss DJM for everything that we talked about today. You can find it on the website and visit us at www.theshowradio.info. And you can also just listen to us on your favorite podcatchers, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, iHeartRadio. We are everywhere. And until next time, you guys have a great week and we'll see you for the next episode. Bye.